have a message this morning. I told you last Sunday night that we would be preaching out of this same passage we preached from Sunday night. Now, Sunday night, we kind of focused on a different part of it concerning the day of the Lord. And that's what we focused our attention on. And certainly that's what this is talking about, because Paul, talking to the church there at Thessalonica, they were concerned. And I talked about this last time, but we'll just kind of cover it a little bit in case you don't remember. But the people during Paul's time did not have the privileges we have today of having a nice King James Bible they could open up and see what all was going to happen. Well, in that day, they didn't have that. And so they wondered, and they had nobody to tell them except for those that God had, of course, inspired to tell them. Well, Paul is one of those. And they're concerned about the last days. They wanted to know about the rapture of the church, about what happens to those loved ones that's died. If the Lord comes, are they going to be left behind? And had they missed the rapture of the church? And because it looked like things were getting so bad that surely this is those latter days that everybody keeps talking about, and all this. And so Paul had a lot of helpful information to give these Thessalonians so that they were not confused. Well, people today are just as confused as they were in the days of Paul. There is so much false teaching out there today that somebody can go and watch one of these clowns that gets on TV that pretends to be some kind of pastor, and he misguides people. He misleads people. You got to watch out who you listen to. If what they're saying doesn't line up with God's word, then they're a false teacher. So be careful about that. Make sure that everything that the preacher's saying is in God's word, because if it don't line up, it's not the truth. And so as Paul continues telling them about these in the latter days, and we touched on a few of the subjects, we talked about the Antichrist and how people get so enthralled on the Antichrist. And I told you not to do that, to keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the most important thing. And he talked about the rapture of the church, which will occur, as we see indicated in the Bible, that the church will be raptured out before the day of the Lord, before the great tribulation period. Remember, the tribulation period was set aside as the time for Jacob's trouble, especially those last 3.5 years. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, and it says a time of great trouble, the great tribulation. And so the church, as far as we can tell throughout the Bible, the church is raptured out before all that takes place, and we won't have to worry about all these things that happen, taking the number of the beast. I was reading through a few comments that people had made on something that one of my friends said, and he had mentioned about the church being raptured out, and he said, well, what if you're saved and you take the mark of the beast? Well, hold on, something's wrong right there. You're not going to take the mark of the beast if you're saved. But regardless of that, a lot of people have a lot of confusion about it. And Paul's talking about these things. But one of the thoughts that's in here, one of the things Paul mentions is down there in verse 11 that we spoke on. It says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Strong delusion. So that's kind of the thought we have this morning about this strong delusion. What is that? What does it mean? And we're looking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We'll go ahead and read this text. I'll give you a second to get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And here the Bible says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, just as I said, Paul giving this information to these folks in Thessalonica, obviously they had also, not only were they confused about things, but they'd been led astray. Somebody had came in behind Paul and taught them differently than what Paul did. And they even, from the way it reads, they've accused Paul of writing a letter informing them of something that was not true, because that's what he mentions there. I've lost it there. We'll get to it here in a minute. But apparently there was some letter that they had received that was supposedly from Paul. And he's trying to set them straight and saying, now listen, I told you the right way. I told you. Do you not remember? I told you the truth. So this, what they're claiming to be from me, is not from me. So they had come in behind Paul, and reading there from the first three verses, it appears, like I said, that somebody came in claiming this information was from him. Look at verse 2. He said, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us. There it is. So it was a letter that they had, and he says, so don't be shaken in mind if it's a letter as from us. So as if it was from us. It wasn't from him. So he's setting the facts straight concerning the rapture of the church, the Antichrist, the second coming of Christ, and he assured them they are not yet in that day. They're not in that day yet. We've not been in that day yet. Here we are over 2,000 years later. We're still not in that day yet. Now, we are approaching that day. We're certainly closer to that day than they were in Paul's day. But he mentions several things that had to occur before all this happened. You see all those things? The rapture of the church, the falling away, the revealing of the Antichrist, the second coming of Christ would occur after all that happened. And so we mentioned last time that if you are a believer in Christ now, before he raptures the church out of this world, you will not be present during the tribulation period. We will not be going through it. God's not going to drag his bride through the tribulation period. So the revealing of the Antichrist, the second coming of Christ, we will be in heaven when all that occurs. But those that do not trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, if this time comes and he raptures the church out, they certainly will be here and present during this time. Now, I've said this many times, and I want it to be very clear. If you miss the rapture of the church, your chances of being saved after that are slim to none. Now, some people don't like that. Now, wait a minute, Brother Byron. I think if everybody saw all these people being raptured out, that surely they would believe in Christ. Oh, Lord, if you would just send Lazarus up and speak to my brothers, they would believe. No, they would not. So people are not going to believe. So if you miss the rapture of the church, and the only way you can miss it is if you've not trusted Christ before he comes, then your chance of being saved are very slim. Now, with the help of the Lord, I want to explain why that is the case. Look again at our opening text there in verse 7. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So as Paul explained, that before the day of the Lord occurs, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, will be revealed. And when he's revealed, he will rule and reign on this earth. Make no mistake about it. The devil, who is, of course, the instigator behind it all, the dragon, the great dragon there that's going to be in charge during this time, he's the one pulling the strings of the Antichrist and the false prophet. He's the one behind it all. They're just his puppets. but Satan's behind all the working of all this that happens. And when all this occurs, he's going to rule and reign here on this earth. And life for anybody living here at that time is going to be literal hell upon this earth. It's going to be terrible. He said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now you would think, judging by the wickedness that we witness around us on this world today, that all this has already happened. The mystery of iniquity has surely already been revealed. I mean, is there any mystery now about the wickedness? No, but that's not exactly what he's alluding to. So as bad as it is right now, things are going to get much worse and worse. That's hard for us to understand. I never thought that I would see such things going on as we're seeing today, just a few years ago. But it's going to get even worse, if you can believe that. And listen, when that time comes, when that tribulation period begins, God will allow the mystery of iniquity to be revealed, and all bets will be off at that time. There'll be such an outpouring of evil upon the face of this earth that you just would not believe it. No, it's never been witnessed before, the depravity that's going to happen. And when this mystery of wickedness or iniquity is revealed, all the evil already that's in work now, it's going to multiply. And all it does is kind of underlie the horrible things that are going to come, that's going to come about. John, we talked about last time, spoke about the spirit of the Antichrist. And it is certainly, the spirit of the Antichrist is present and alive and real now. It was in John's time, it's doubly as bad nowadays. But God will reveal the Antichrist for who he is eventually. Those first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, people are not going to quite understand exactly who he is because he has them all fooled. He pretends to be the best friend of the Jew, allows them to rebuild the temple, and all these, they go back to making sacrifices. They go back to the way it was back in those days when they were doing the daily sacrifices. And the Antichrist is going to allow that to happen, because he wants to be their friend. And then after that 3.5 years, he rips off the facade, the mask, and reveals who he truly is. And he hates the Jew. And he wants to destroy them. That's why it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is Israel. Israel are the Jews, is who they are. And so it is their time, and it's the time they're going to be going through. Why they have to go through this? Because they rejected their Messiah. That's why. So they will be going through it. And verse 8, it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." People who reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse to believe the truth, they're going to believe in the Antichrist. They're going to believe him. They'll believe that he is the Christ. They'll be deceived. It's not that they've not heard the gospel. They've heard it. But they're going to reject it. They're not going to believe in the truth. And so you even see here that Satan is going to have powers, signs, wonders. He's going to mimic. Through the Antichrist, he's going to mimic the things that Christ does. And so people's going to say he is the Christ. In fact, there's going to be a point where he is wounded somehow in the head and apparently dies and resurrects. And so people are going to look at that and say, he is the Christ. Look, he's resurrected from the dead. And millions and millions of people are going to believe in the Antichrist. But when they reject the truth, what this means is they hate the truth. Men hate the light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It's what the Bible says. And so men today, they hate the light, they hate the truth, they reject the truth. And so that's what it means. They receive not the love of the truth. Now, like I said, the Antichrist will have these deceptive powers, the signs and lying wonders. It will look very good to people. And so they'll swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. But instead of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll accept the Antichrist. And at that point, these people will have no ability to be saved. It's all over with for them. You can't believe in the Antichrist and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these will be the people that will take the number of the beast, the mark of the beast, which, you know, the number 6 being the number of man. We're one short of the God number, of number seven, of perfectness. But the 666, which we believe to be the mark that most people take. That's what we always think of, taking on the head, forehead, or the hand. And people that want to buy and sell during that tribulation period will have to take this mark, or they won't be able to buy and sell. And so they're going to follow the Antichrist, believe in him, take the mark of the beast, and at that point, it's over with for them. We read about it there. John writes about it in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. Now, this is during the great tribulation period. Revelation 13, starting with verse 16. It says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So during this tribulation period, like I said, if you want to buy or sell during that time, and I know I keep saying if you want to, if you're saved, you won't be part of this. But those that want to buy and sell during that time, they'll have to take on that mark of the beast if they want to be able to do that. Well, the Bible tells us his number, the number of the beast, is 666. So 666, 666. And we have always avoid that number. Anytime that number comes up, we all say, ooh, it's the number of the beast, you know. And there was a lady that came in the fellowship building when my mother was working down there. She came in the door and she had 666 engraved in her forehead. And so, listen, things are scary. But this number, whether it means the people be marked with those numbers, or like the Bible says, do you see what it said? It said, save he had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So, it looks like there's a few variances of what they can take on as a mark. You know, you go down, they'll say, which tattoo do you want? You know, do you want the one with all the numbers? Do you want his last name? Do you want the numbers of his name? Or what do you want? You know, and so there's going to be a choices, it looks like, of which one you can take. But it's funny, if you look through the history of people dealing with the Antichrist and the marks of the beast and such, there's always somebody out there with a conspiracy theory and trying to prove that that person or this person is the Antichrist, and by the things they did or the numbers they used and all this, such as their first, middle, and last name all containing six letters. And so they would take people that had a first name, a middle name, and a last name that all had six letters, and they say, ah, he's got the six sixes in his name in all three names. Well, this actually occurred through Ronald Reagan. Back when Ronald Reagan was president, there was a lot of people pointing to him saying he's the Antichrist. The reasons being was because of his name. Each one of his names, his first, middle, and last name, has six letters in it. Ronald Wilson Reagan. And so immediately the conspiracy theorists come up and say, aha, he's got the six letters in each one of his names, and so he's the Antichrist. And there were several other reasons, too, why they made this claim. One being because he was shot, if y'all remember this. Somebody tried to take Reagan's life. He was shot, yet he survived it. Also, they say, well, you know, his wife Nancy likes to wear red. And so that was one of the other things. And also, when he retired, he moved to a place, and the address was 666 St. Cloud Road, Bel Air, California. And so so there was, you know, a lot of things that people were pointing to Reagan saying he's the Antichrist. And so, of course, all that's a bunch of hogwash. He was not the Antichrist. But people still do that. They'll do that to people that's today. There's people, you know, point at Trump and claim that he is and all that crazy baloney going on out there. But listen, when the real Antichrist comes and on the scene, and if you don't bear his mark, you'll be faced with starvation. And so starvation is always a great motivation for people to do things. Anytime your stomach starts growling, you decide, hey, you know what, that don't look so bad after all. You know, I'll take that mark. But if you do that, you're going to have, it's essentially a death warrant upon your head. However, people are marked, they will have to identify with the Antichrist or else. those that do not love Jesus, those that purposely reject the gospel, they'll take this mark. They will not believe, and they cannot be saved. Now look, we live in the age of grace right now, the church age, the time right now. Anybody, the Bible says, whosoever will can come to Christ. The only way that you can't be saved if you just reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way that you can't be saved. That's the unpardonable sin. But these people rejected the truth, so God actually gives them up. Now, there's nothing more scarier in the Bible than to read that God gives somebody up, He gives somebody over, He purposely gives them, like we see right here in our text, a strong delusion. God is the one that does this. He gives them the strong delusion. Because they've rejected Him, they had their chance, they know the truth, they rejected the truth, they love the untruth, and so God says, you know what? Okay, you will not be able to believe. From this point on, that's it for you. And so He is the one that actually makes them that way. So they rejected it enough. 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12 says, and for this cause, and make sure you pay attention to that. For this cause, what is the cause? Because they rejected the truth. That's the cause. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We see these people of who they really are. They actually take pleasure in their sins. They take pleasure in unrighteousness. They hate Christ. So they're God haters. But it said, and for this cause, that's very important. God wants them now at this point to not be able to believe. And so, listen, God gives each person free will. You have the free will right now to accept Christ or reject Christ. That's your prerogative. God allows you to do that. He doesn't force you to be saved, but He allows you to take your choice. But if you reject Him, it's all over. These people decide they want to reject Christ, so their minds are already made up. Over in Romans chapter 1, we read a little bit about these type of people. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, right away, we already see some very condemning things. These people have been shown the truth. They flat out rejected it. They could care less about it. The Bible said that it has clearly seen. They clearly saw it. And it also says they're without excuse. So there is no excuse. They can't say, well, God, you know, you should save me because I didn't really know or I didn't really understand. And He's going to say, oh, no, you did understand. You clearly understood it. You flat out rejected it on purpose. And so, therefore, you are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'm seeing this today. These so-called religious people of today that are getting on TV pretending to be something. You have people today, women, they're calling themselves preachers, and getting up causing all this controversy and things. Listen, there's people today that's giving John MacArthur a hard time, and whether you are a fan of John MacArthur or not, I don't care. He is a very brilliant man. He's very smart. He's studied in the scriptures. He understands the truth of God's word. And he said that that Beth Moore needed to go home. And that has caused a lot of people a lot of problems. And they're saying, oh, that was so unchristian of him. Oh, really? It was unchristian of him to say what God says, that there's no women preachers? Now, right away, somebody that believes in women preachers is going to see this and they're going to get all mad. Listen, that's what the Bible, there is no case in the Bible that ever, ever allows a woman to be a preacher or pastor of a church. Never, ever. And so John MacArthur was right. She does need to go home. She can teach and preach with women and children, but she is not to have authority over a church. or to be in that leadership role over men, usurping authority over men, teaching the scripture, because it's against scripture. And so, listen, we see a lot of this going on today. People that are vain in their imaginations, they believe that what they're doing is you know, right. Well, what they believe in is the almighty dollar. Lifeway stores are going out of business right now, but the last time I was in there, you walk in the door, Beth Moore, Beth Moore, Beth Moore, Beth Moore. I mean, all over the place. So they're pushing that garbage down people's throats. By the way, Lifeway is owned by the Southern Baptist Convention, if that tells you anything. So the Southern Baptist Convention, what they see in her is money. Money, money, money. They don't care that she's leading people astray or going against what the Bible says. And so, and by the way, their president, J.D. Greer, he come out and said, she can come to my house anytime she wants to. Well, I'm sure John MacArthur let her come in his house too, but she can't preach. she can serve supper. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. There's another phrase. God also gave them up to uncleanliness. And so that's it. I give you up. You get what you want. You don't want me? Fine. You don't have to have me. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Do you not see that happening all around us? I mean, all this is happening right now. We're living in this time of history when all the Bible is unfolding in front of our eyes. Women today leaving the natural use of that, going against nature, rejecting their children. We got women right now in abortion clinics having their babies aborted. They're murdering their babies inside their womb right now. They're changing the natural use of that which is against nature. People claiming, men claiming to be women, women claiming to be men. They're changing the natural use. And so what happens? God gives them up to their vile affections. Why do you think these people that do that stuff, you watch the news, you see these people that are, you know, the gender identity people and all this stuff, you know, they're always the most rabid, angry, vindictive, destructive type of people you'll find. You go and watch a protest in front of an abortion clinic. Christians standing out there holding their signs, singing, having Bible verses, trying to share the gospel, very quiet and gentle. You let one of those people coming in there that wants this pro-abortion. They're mad, they're mean, they're hateful, they're evil, they're rotten. And they want to fight, they want to rip the signs down, they scream, they cuss. That's the difference. They have already been given over to their vile affections. And likewise also the men, verse 27, also likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Oh, those men down there, so... oh, they're just so nice. Yeah, they're nice until you say something about them. We just saw where that one leader up in Pigeon Forge there now has made a national spotlight because he just simply mentioned that there was a homosexual man running for office and how terrible that was. And well, it just went crazy. People went, I'll never visit Pigeon Forge again. Good, I'm glad you won't. That'd be less people like that around our area. So listen, men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one and another toward another men. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Again, All you got to do is look at a group of these people today. We call them left-wing or whatever you want to call them, liberal. I just call it sinful people. But you get a group of them together, and they love watching their other counterparts there, you know, carrying on with all their evil, disgusting, sinful acts. And so, but the Bible says here they know the judgment of God. They've heard it. They don't care. Yeah, let God strike me dead. Yeah, you hear him say. Better be what? You might get what you wish for. But listen, you can only push God so far. Now listen, God is long-suffering, he's merciful, he's graceful, he's loving. But I want you to know, if you reject him, you can reject him, and there'll be a point where he'll say, you know what? You don't want me? Fine. You don't have to have me. In fact, there's no way possible now for you to have me. And when God gives you over, friend, that is it. That's it. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That strong delusion means a powerful straying of the mind into error. In other words, it's almost like your mind has something snapped in it. And you're no longer able to even do the right thing. You're no longer able to even do what's right. You're just snapped now, and all you can do is evil, disgusting. It's a powerful straying of the mind into error. And there's no coming out of this delusion. Once you're in this delusion, that's it for you. There's no going back. Once you've been given over to your own reprobate mind, you belong to Satan. Over in Proverbs 5:21-23, the Bible says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in greatness of his folly he shall go astray." I'm afraid there's many people in this condition today. I look around me and see all the things that's happening. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's people today that's already been given over to their own reprobate mind. They pushed God away. They pushed away the gospel. They've rejected it. And down in their very own hearts, they hate the gospel. They hate Christ. They love their sin more than they love the truth. And the Lord has given them over. Listen, that's why it's so important that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It's what the Bible says. And so listen, this is real. This is real. The Bible is real. Everything that's in here is the truth. And listen, you can hear it. If you reject it, God have mercy on your soul. That's all I can say. Well, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you, Lord. Thanking you for the message, but Lord, it scares us to death. God, understanding what's happening in this world and all around us, the culture and the mindset that we live in today, Lord, it's just overbearing. God, I'm praying for those that are on the verge of being given over. Lord, they're right there on the brink of being sent a strong delusion. Lord, because they've rejected the truth, they take pleasure in their unrighteousness. God, if there's one here that's listening today, God, that you're convicting their heart, I pray that today is the day that they get saved, Lord, that they'll hit their knees and cry out, Lord, and confess their sins to you. Lord, confess unto you that they need a Savior. And Lord, accept the truth. Would you help them today, Father? Would you help them? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.